I don't believe they could. I don't believe they could refuse it. Of course, the poor woman, by the time she gets that far, she don't care. She'll take anything.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, you can't blame her. More than grateful that God's always allowed me to deliver my own children.
Well, how many were born in the hospital?
Only the last four. And that was simply to give me the time out of the house for a little sort of respite or vacation away from home, because there were so many at home. But that was all.
Well, I remember going down with you
For Rosemary.
Rosemary.
Mm-hmm.
That was 5 minutes after you arrived at the hospital, the baby was delivered.
Well, see, I've been going all night without saying anything to anybody. And then in the morning, I knew they were going to Bass. And I had gotten up and called the doctor and the nurse and the hospital. And had just sat back and, had tried to stay back and waited until breakfast was over. And I almost had waited too long. But God was good to me and just saved me until we got down there. But I really had been in labor all night, and that was the thing. Those four times that I did go to the hospital, I would be in labor for hours before I would even say so or say anything about it.
You could figure out pretty well yourself.
Oh, yes, I knew by that time pretty well. I had time pains, and I knew pretty well by that time.
That was the last child, actually. You didn't know it then, of course.
No.
So that was really a record.
Yes. Yes. That was fine. But they... pregnancy never bothered me. I never was sick or anything. And the deliveries were no cinch, you should say, or anything like that, but they were never too much. And you were always... I was always grateful afterwards to think that I never had any artificial means of delivery or of anesthetic or of instruments or, of course, it was all God's grace. It was nothing due to me. It was just a gift from Him.
Well, as many women say, oh, I don't see how your mother could stand the 15. I have four, or I have five, and that's about all I can stand. Do you think it's any more difficult to take care of four or five than 15 outside of the expense?
Well, when I had one, I couldn't do anything else but take care of that one. But I found out when I had two and three and four and five, I could do great many more things and still take care of the two or three or four or five.
You got experience.
Sure. God suits the back for the bird. He don't send you anything you can't do. They're not all dumped in on you at one time. They come at their own intervals, and each one fills in its own place. And God don't ask you to do anything that's impossible to do. And you only have 24 hours a day to do it in. And you can give the 24 hours to one child, or you can give the 24 hours to 14. And it soon regulates itself if you give it to 14. The big ones will help the little ones, and the time will regulate itself, and the children will be taken care of if you have some order and method in your life. And soon find that that extra baby comes along, is taken care of, and falls right into his place. Many a time I used to think, what would I ever do when I came out of the hospital to take care of another baby? I always did it. It seemed to me that it became easier the more there were. I say that now, but
yeah.
It really did. Because you weren't so fretful or irritable about every little thing a child did. And you weren't so upset and anxious about every move they made.
Yeah, I noticed that with mothers with large families.
You were able to sort of let them have some freedom of their own and some way of their own.
They throw the baseball into the sheets that are hanging up while you...
Well, go ahead. You let them throw.
Yeah.
And you're not yelling at them every 5 minutes. You're giving them credit for a little sense, too. And When you're not looking at one, you're looking at the other, and they soon regulate themselves of their own volition.
Pop used to call Granny the Dowager, didn't he?
Yes.
What else did he call her?
The Dowager Princess. And that was when she would get herself all dressed up and be going out or something, you know. And she was a good-looking woman, too. Yeah. And could get herself nicely dressed up. And as I said before, she had that innate aristocracy in her.
Yeah.
And she would chuckle and laugh at him. She had a way of chuckling that was very contagious. You'd laugh because she laughed.
Yeah.
Many a time I've thought of her. The other day we were at a wedding, and I thought that the boy that was married was a doctor. And when I came out to the back of the church to congratulate them, I went up to this young man and said, "Doctor and Mrs." And when I came out, Dad was laughing, and I found out he wasn't a doctor at all. And I could just imagine Granny, you know, that chuckle of hers, as she'd hold it all in to herself. And then the next day, all day, one time I was making the beds, and as I made this bed leaning over it, I laughed out loud at myself because I was still thinking of the silly thing I had done, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing Daddy, you know, Granny would do. You know, she'd think of something about the children or something about Daddy that had happened, and all of a sudden she'd laugh out loud and you'd say, "Well, what are you laughing at? Who are you laughing with?"
Yeah.
"Oh, I'm just laughing at something I remembered." Well, that's what I did the other day, yesterday. I was laughing out loud because I had called this young man doctor and he wasn't a doctor at all. It was really funny.
In the days when the family was at its peak, say with 14 children and about three or four adults in the house, the milk was coming in about 14 quarts, wasn't it?
A day, yeah. Yeah, but there never really were 14.
14.
See, Rosemary was born, and, Anne was born in December. And while I was in the hospital that time, Frank was in St. Charles. He was away that year. So that it was only, there never were really 14 together in the house.
Except that summer. Summer before.
Except in the summer, yes.
Yeah.
No, because Rosemary wasn't born until January the following year.
Yeah, Rosemary was 6 months old before I went away. But she was sitting on the porch when I left.
She was 6 months old when you went away.
Yeah.
Well, then Frank went away that same summer.
Yeah,
but he had been away the year before.
Yeah, but we were home. We were all home that summer.
That one summer, that's all.
Yeah.
That's the only time they were all together.
But even so, it was about 14 quarts of milk.
Oh, yes, yeah, sure. But that's the only one summer that you were all home, or the only one time that you were all together.
Uh-huh.
Because the year before that, Frank was away, and then you went away that summer.
That's another aspect of a large family that most mothers don't realize, that the children don't stay very as long as you think.
No. No.
And, they either marriage or religious life brings a break in the family life that comes all too quickly, doesn't it? And don't you think that mothers with smaller families probably rue the...
Oh, I think they must have terrible remorse.
Yeah.
Their mental attitude must be very, very painful. These children were all born within 19 and a half years. And now, after 19 and a half years, they're all gone, except one. Rosemary was 19 in January. And in 19 and a half years, they've all left. What do you have?
Well, at least you have the satisfaction of having put them on their way. And a mother with a smaller number of children has fewer interests and much less satisfaction. At least that.
Oh, yes, I know all that. What would life mean to anybody who could have had children and only has one or two. They must be in a continual state of remorse. Now, can't have them now. But when they could have had them, didn't.
And then when their children go, they relinquish them with much less grace. I mean, they're more selfish.
Ooh, yes.
They wanted to keep them for themselves. They wanted to keep their own life.
Well, they started out selfishly.
Yes.
And it continues.
And that's harder on the children. It's likely to bring a poor relationship between parent and child later on.
Sure.
So they pay for
it. It's all based on selfishness. I feel sad, very sad, for a woman who can't have children. Very sad for her. Of course, I think she should adopt one immediately. No doubt about that at all. But I can't help but feel that the hearts of women who could have had children and don't, that their life must be a regular demon of remorse, because there isn't anything in the world worthwhile but family life and children. There isn't any other pleasure in life that's in any way equal to it. There isn't any interest that's any way equal to it. And then to think that they're used by God as a co-creator and that they refuse it, what are they expecting to think of them?
And what satisfaction can they get out of looking for themselves, looking out for themselves? They're not going to be young forever. But if they try to do for others and do for God, at least they have that satisfaction of having done what they could.
And that's why I feel such a satisfaction. I guess I'm wrong, but I feel such a satisfaction in thinking that God let me have and deliver all those children normally, naturally, without anesthetic, without instrument, without anything except His grace. Here we come.
Near the Patuxent Naval Air Station, no doubt visited St. Ignatius Church of St. Inigo's, I-N-I-G-O-E-S, period. That station is just about 8 miles from St. Inigo's, and no other old church is near the station, period. St. Ignatius Church of St. Inigo stands at the very gate of Webster Field, which is one of the outlying fields connected with Patuxent. Your friend's shock at seeing the condition of the church was the typical reaction of most everybody, period. New paragraph. At present, a Navy volunteer group of workers spend about 1 day a week working on the church, period. Not 1 cent has been spent yet in labor costs, but I have spent about $500 in getting supplies with which to help the Navy workers, period. New paragraph. If you would care to have a little news item for the Catholic Historical Review on the interest the Navy crew has taken in this reconstruction, comma, I would be glad to supply you with it. I can make it any length you suggest. New paragraph. I am very happy that you are bringing the matter to the attention of the readers of the Catholic Historical Review, period. The importance of that review and of all Catholic historical work is deeply impressed on me by the sad condition of this church. Period. It is no longer a parish center, and unless Catholics take some interest in their history, it would just disappear. Period. With deep gratitude for your interest and your encouragement, I am sincerely yours in Christ, Richard T. McSorley, S.J. That's the end of letter number 11. And the end of all that's on this tape. Wisconsin, period. Inside, put the same address, and then begin the letter as follows. Dear Father, please send 20 copies of the October 1951 issue of, open quote, MANA, capital M-A-N-N-A, close quote. Two.
Where was your mother born?
In Acapulco, in the